Two men were up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How often have we heard the saying, there are two kinds of people in the world. Right? It's usually a good, sometimes humorous illustration that plays to our ability to easily accept the world and its peoples as binary, either or, black or white. There are two kinds of people in the world, those who do this and those who do that. Though my favorite joke is there are two kinds of people in the world, those who can count and those who can't, right? there are three kinds of people in the world, I'm sorry, those who can count and those who can't, right? That would be the one that, and I'm one of them, right? I can't count or remember a joke. So the parable we hear today are two kinds of people in the world. In this parable, we believe that we're hearing about a story of a righteous person and an unrighteous person. We also might think that to know which one is which on the surface. Because I'm sure when Jesus is telling this parable, it's easy to determine who it is. How many of us want to be associated with thieves, rogues, and adulterers? I mean, is the Pharisee really off base here? You might be aware, in Jesus' context, that tax collectors were seen as horrible people. They were traitors to their own people. So they were really despised by Jews, and the Romans didn't really respect them much as well either. One person in this parable is boasting, and the other is begging for mercy. Again, this doesn't seem so provocative, especially in our culture that has often associated religion and Christianity with being a good person. Who wouldn't want to be more like the Pharisee? And who wants to be a traitor like the tax collector? Because the Pharisee sounds great, the tax collector, not so much. And maybe in this parable, if we were to get a deeper introspection of what is happening, the tax collector is bringing with him the guilt of all the actions he has done, all the people he has essentially robbed of their money, all the people he's betrayed. But Jesus flips this all around. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified, the tax collector, rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The reversal here is that according to Jesus, the sinner went home justified, as opposed to the righteous one. Not only do we experience a reversal here in this parable, but it's also a trap. It's a trap. How often, how many times have you heard this parable and said, thank God I'm not the Pharisee? How many times have you read the New Testament and said, thank God I'm not like the Pharisees? If you have, we all have fallen into this trap that Jesus has set up. Because in that instance, we are proving Jesus' point. In preparation for this week, I spoke of how we're all guilty as the Pharisee in the parable. Particularly in a culture that can be very tribal and divisive, we might boast about who we think we are and thank God for who we are not. And God is inviting us to look at people and the world very differently. Jesus invites us to follow the way of the cross, and that should orient our lives, as some would call, to a cruciform way of living. One that pours our love and mercy out into the world. Perhaps we're not supposed to be judging who is truly the most humble in the parable, but come to the realization that our hope to receive mercy ourselves is in the one who humbled himself for our sake, which is Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, we don't know why people do some things that we might not understand or approve of. We don't know why people were led down a path to journey on in life, a path that we wouldn't have chosen for ourselves. We don't know where in their lives that they may have been a victim. We don't know the hard choices and decisions people are wrestling with in their lives. We don't know. And perhaps we're invited not to approach people with condemnation, but with grace, with understanding, with mercy. Even as Lutherans, human nature and our American culture, we kind of see people as being deserving or undeserving, because we're products of our own culture, even though our theology tells us otherwise. The tax collector, some of us might hope, would get what they deserve in the end. But Jesus, in this reversal of our understanding and expectations, does not care about that. He doesn't seek to give people what they deserve based on what the world decides. Grace, as you've heard me say over and over again, is getting what we do not deserve. If you are a sinner, the one who has humbled himself to the point of death, only one person has done that, humbled himself to the point of death, even on a cross. That has justified us. He has justified us through that transforming love of the cross. Again, we should be humbled by God's mercy that is extended to us. Our actions and our works do not save or justify, but it's Christ's work and actions that have saved us. We may like those stories and illustrations where there are two types of people in the world. Yet we know that human beings are far more complex, right? Far more complex than the boxes and the stereotypes we like to place people in. And as Lutheran Christians, we don't like either or. It's both and. In the parable about two different types of people in the world, we know that we are both. We are the Pharisee and we are the tax collector. We are humbled by God and we are justified by God. We are saints and we are sinners. The good news is that God is gracious and merciful. And in response to that, what would it look like if we weren't consumed in boasting in who we think we are and condemning those that we're glad that we are not, but focused first and foremost in being more like Jesus? What would that look like if our energy was more in being more like Christ? We know that it would cause scandal in the world because it did for Jesus. In this reversal that Jesus poses for us here, what we would bring into the world is an outreach to those very people who the world says is undeserving. The thief, the rogue, the adulterers, and the tax collectors. Also you and me. Because we are made right with God through Jesus. And we're called to share that news with those people, those very people who the world has said are far off from God's love and are undeserving of it. And we say nonsense because we bring a kind of radical love, a kind of radical welcome, and a kind of radical mercy into the world to those that the world assumes is always going to be standing far off from God. This is our response to the love that we've received in Christ, because we no longer stand alone. We're not seeking to do the right things for the wrong reasons, like you see the Pharisee boast about in the parable. Our trust is now in Jesus and not ourselves. Again, in our world, we admire people like the Pharisee who boast and brag about their accomplishments, which in reality, if you really take a deeper look at their lives, when people boast and brag at their accomplishments, they've also been dealt a pretty good hand in life that helps set them up on that path. None of us get to where we are by ourselves alone. Once we realize that, we know we are standing on solid ground because we stand with Jesus, walking in the way of Christ, trusting in our Lord who has shown us great mercy. The good news is that Christ, in Christ, no one is ever going to be far off from God. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. Think about how radical that is. Think about how gracious that is. There is no sin that can never be forgiven. And not only do we totally abolish in Christ's name the worldly concepts, for the cross has destroyed score tracking of who deserves what in the end. That has been destroyed in Christ. And you know what else has been destroyed in Christ? Death. Death itself. So we are free to live gracious lives, bringing celebration out into the world. As we gather here for worship, we're oriented to the cross with the crucified and risen Lord in our midst through word and sacrament. We are fed, we are filled, and we are forgiving, knowing that we are going to be sent from this place to continue that celebration out into the world. So, beloved children of God, bring that celebration into the lives of people who feel far off from the love of God. May we share with them the love of God, that there is nothing that can separate them from God's love in Jesus Christ. They not only need to hear it, but they need to feel it. They need to feel it through the love that we share with them, through the relationships that we have with them, through the compassion that we give to them. In our world, we like to think that there are two types of people in the world. And using church language, we'll say there are sinners and there are saints. And in our world, some of the saints are worthy and other sinners are not deserving and they're far off. But as Lutheran Christians, we know the truth that we are simultaneously sinners and saints. And it is through the love of God, through Jesus Christ, the one who humbled himself and died on the cross for our sake, that will ultimately destroy the sinner in all of us and make us righteous, bringing us into full communion with God, both now and forever. May that good news humble us. May that good news exalt us to live lives not consumed with our works and accomplishments, not consumed with judgment and stereotypes of others, but being imitators of Christ in the world. For in sharing the love of Jesus, we pray that all people would know that no one is far off from God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen.